worship and celebration and testimony. It's great to have the Baby X here and to be able to hear from them what God is bringing them through in their lives. I was reading a book by Darlene Check this week on extravagant worship, and there was a story in there that really caught my attention. She was on a flight. She's used to flying all over the place. And this particular time, she had her book ready, and she had her headphones ready, and all ready for this flight so that she can tune everything out. And all of a sudden, she hears from a little boy, 4 years old, behind her, that just as they're ready to take off, he says, "Wow, Daddy, I can see the whole world from up here." And that brought a smile to her lips, and she put down what she had, and she just had to look outside. And it was a beautiful sight. But what she said is, it's so easy to take for granted the sights that we see. And sometimes it's so easy to take for granted the God that we worship. And even though he's a great big God, and even though he's amazing, and he's awesome, and he's so worthy of our worship, sometimes we get so distracted and tuning into other things that we tune him out. So this is a great time to start our evening tonight in worship. Will you stand and sing, "Great Are You, Lord," with us?
You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Will you pray along with me? Lord, may this not just be another worship service, but may this be a chance to stand before the throne of God in awe before the one who lived and died for us. We acknowledge your presence, that you're here. And as we sing out to praise the name of Jesus, May we sense your presence among us, beside us, filling this place. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down. Thank you.
are times that evil tries to press in on every side, we need to remember the finished work of the cross. Whatever situation you find yourself in, know this: God is present. Worship Him. Recognize and acknowledge His greatness, even in moments of great pain, so that you can discover His grace and His power is sufficient. Like Paul said in Corinthians, three times, I begged the Lord, take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Jesus is our cornerstone. Let's sing to Him.
Christ alone, cornerstone.
this time we have an opportunity to greet and welcome one another here in the Lord. So please do that at this time, and then you may be seated. At this time, we're going to be having our offering for volunteers in service. And while the offering is being taken, please join with us in singing Jesus.
There is a truth older than the air. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus.
There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me.
Times of trouble, there is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus,
who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as the lamb, he carries my healing in his hands. Jesus. My Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer. There is power in your name, in your You speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled like the lamb, you carry my healing in your hands. You walk on the waters, you speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me.
stand for one more song of praise to our God.
under your wings. Cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. Find rest, my soul, in Christ. Oceans rise and thunders roar. I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you.
Wanted to say thank you. That was beautiful. And your singing was terrific tonight as well. You know, this morning I spoke about tools that we need to pass down our faith to the next generation. And one of those tools was the power of telling stories to really testify to God's goodness in our lives and his steadfastness in our lives, even when we're going through tough times. Now, I say that's a good way to pass down our faith to children. But I have to tell you, when I hear stories, oftentimes we have our stories at Thanksgiving time when we do our Ebenezer stones. I think all of the congregation, not just children, walk out blessed. And this evening we are privileged to have the Baby Act families talk about their story. Now, we saw one of their videos this morning, but before we start this evening and have them come forward, Jane, if you wouldn't mind running this video that they put together.
Mm-hmm.
Jason and Allison, I want to just invite you up here in front. Boy, you know, Dawson, when I saw them put that stuff on your chest, I just remembered when they put Vicks on my chest. Boy, did that tickle. I'll tell you, did that tickle you or not? No. Okay, you're a trooper. Come on up to the front here. Why don't you guys have a seat? And I need a couple. Can I take these mics? Whoop, ran off. Okay, here we go. Here we are. Well, we thought it would be good to just have an informal, conversation. And maybe if we have time at the end, if you have some questions that you'd like to ask the Baby Ox, that would be welcomed as well. But, you know, I think many of us know what your story is, but I think there's some of us out here that aren't too familiar. And I thought maybe if you could just start off and tell us your journey. When did it begin? Why don't you start out?
Well, Jason? First of all, we'd like to thank everybody for being here. I know that this is the first time we've ever been to Sunday worship in this in the evening. Well, who doesn't go in the morning?
Oh, it's confession time here.
She keeps me on my toes. Thank you for listening to us. Anybody could be up here telling their story. Ours is just one part of this big puzzle of life. And, you know, God has a plan for everyone. And that's what we feel. So thank you for listening. Hopefully something we say, you know, inspires you, or you can take something away from us. But Dirk, thank you for reaching out to us. You said only 5 to 10 people. So we got to talk later.
So our story, Jason and I actually met in middle school. We got married. We're teachers. We had a cute little house and two wonderful boys, and we thought we were very normal. The fall of 2014, I started noticing some spots on Dawson, and my motherly instincts told me that something wasn't right, and Jason kind of brushed it off as just being bug bites or a weird rash or something.
You know, being a dad, bug bites, little red spots, take some ibuprofen or Benadryl and sleep on it, and it'll go away. And it was Friday night.
Yeah, so we decided to finally take him into the doctor, and they wanted to get some blood drawn, and we're supposed to get a really, really bad winter storm that night, and we got a phone call after we had already put the boys to bed.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
So, a little bit of history. Allison has a blood disorder, and so does our other son, so we didn't think anything of the red spots and a blood draw and to test it. We thought, okay, we're going to confirm that Dawson has a blood disorder, and we'll have to pay attention to what we need to do. And so Saturday, we're fortunate enough that the pediatrician was open on Saturday, mm-hmm. and they took his blood, but they couldn't give us a result, right? No, it was Monday they took his blood because mm-hmm. they couldn't do any testing. So Monday night, we got a phone call at 9:30 at night, and I thought it was one of my students calling the prank. You know, it was 9:30, and they asked for Mr. Babiak, and I said, you know, this is Mr. Babiak. And then they went on to say, well, did you go to urgent care to get your son's blood drawn today? And I said, yes. And then I knew it was serious.
It's all right, Dan. Take your time.
They said that...
So he had elevated white blood cells. And being a science teacher, I thought, white blood cells, they fight off viruses and whatnot. Oh, it's a good thing. But it was 9:30 at night.
And they said that the doctors are waiting for us in the emergency room, and we needed to go right away. And we live in Granville. It normally takes us 20 minutes to get to the hospital, and the roads were so bad that night. It took us over an hour, and the whole time, I was just pleading, and I had known in my heart because we all do it. When we see symptoms, we go on the internet and we look, and the first thing that popped up was leukemia, and I just pleaded with God that that was not what it was.
It was the longest car ride ever. Mm. Finally got to the emergency at the Children's Hospital, escorted straight to a ER room filled with doctors and nurses, about 8 of them, all gathered around, and then they told us. And of course, you think, this is not happening, not to my son. They said they confirmed it twice in a matter of seconds, and they said they needed to get chemo into him right away.
So that was a big turning point, big life-changing moment for our family.
We didn't have time to make any decisions. You just had to go with whatever anybody said. Mm. So you just did your best and listened to others. Everybody in that room was concerned about our child as much as we were. Yeah. We were admitted. And
you just put your trust. You put your trust in the Lord that he's going to guide the doctors. You put their trust in the doctors that they're going to know the right thing. And as much as we question, why us? Why Dawson? Why is this happening? We know that there is something bigger out there and that he has a plan. And we just have to trust him.
I can tell you that I asked why a lot. You know, is it because of something that I did?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's that self-blame. Like, okay, there's something that I've done in my life to upset God. And then you go through all the, okay, what did I do? What can I do to correct it? What, please, just help my child. I'll do anything. Mm. And you plead and you beg and you think, why is this happening to this child? Why? An almighty Father that can do anything. Why? And you question. And you question more. And I even got angry. Mm. I have a brother-in-law that once said, you know, he's an almighty Father. He can handle a little bit of questioning and anger. Mm. And I thought to myself, you know, he said that, but just like my dad, when I get angry at him, I was right back there saying, I'm so sorry. Why am I questioning this? Because I think back to those people that helped our son. That was the Lord working in his way. That nurse that came into his room round the clock at night with a smile, as quiet as she could be, administering whatever drugs, whether it be pain drugs, that was him working through her. Working through the doctors.
You know, you mentioned some of the surprises during this journey. Can you talk about some of the surprises? Some people, I think when I was over there the other night, it almost seemed like little angels dropped down into your lives. People that you didn't know. Who were some of those people?
Well, I think the amazing thing is everybody says, as soon as we say, oh, our son is going through leukemia treatment, that, oh, I'm so sorry. And you know what? There's definitely been some downtimes, but we have been blessed so incredibly much through this. We've been blessed by people that are near and dear to our hearts. We've been blessed by complete strangers. So my story first. Okay. So one of my favorite ones is there was
I didn't say anything.
Like we said, we're both school teachers. So I had a couple students from the family, and their grandfather, who I had never actually personally met, is one of the most consistent and continual supporters of Dawson. One of his inpatient stays when he had an infection is he just wanted to get a bunch of jokes from people and have them send him to the hospital. And Dawson would always like to tell jokes to the nurses too and get them to smile. Well, this gentleman, at least two or three times a week up until yesterday, still continues to send Dawson jokes and little stories with him. And just the fact that this is someone that now we've met, because I had to let Dawson and Mason know who Papa Salisbury is, but just that he's thinking of Dawson. Even when he was on vacation down in Gulf Shores, he's still sending Dawson jokes, and it's just amazing to me that he has him on his mind all the time.
Yeah, and we could go on and on with stories. Initially, when Dawson was diagnosed, I was opposed to the Facebook. I still don't have a Facebook for myself. And Allison said this is something that she needed. She needed prayer. There's so much power in prayer, so much. And every time he sends a joke, I just know that he's sending up a little prayer for Dawson, which is it's so powerful. You know, every once in a while, you might have somebody that stops us and says something like, well, I've read your post, or I know about something going, and you know that they're thinking of Dawson and praying for him. We make ourselves vulnerable with our Facebook, but I think it's necessary that we become vulnerable. I think it's necessary that we share our stories. Then how do people know to pray for what we're going through? And it's not just, I used to think, well, I'm in this situation, it's a horrible situation, and I'll send up a few prayers, but I say a prayer now every time I wake up in the morning, because it's another morning, and I get to see my son, and I get to see my family.
And I think that God knows just exactly when we need something. When things are just going really bad, we'll get a card in the mail, or we'll get a voicemail, or we'll get a message on our Facebook page. And the comments that some of you guys write are just so powerful and just what I need to hear at just the right time. And I know that that's him working through you.
Yeah. I have a good friend of mine that said, well, if you can share your love of God with somebody in an elevator ride in about a minute flat, then you're doing well. And I used to think, well, I can do that. I've gone through the motions, and I pretty much, you look everywhere around you, and the world's beautiful. Trees are in bloom, flowers, and that was my answer. But now my answer is his love for everyone, his love for my son is more powerful than I can understand. He has gone through what Dawson is going through, and he's there every step of the way. I can just tell the story about Dawson, and that's all I need.
So what have the treatments been like in the past, and where are we right now with everything?
Dawson is, his cancer cells are stubborn, just like him. He didn't respond to treatment right away, and so they had to lengthen his earlier treatment. So what was supposed to be 6 months ended up being more like 9 months. And then actually, if you didn't know this, because he is a boy, they get treated for a year longer in cancer. So right now, his end of treatment date is March of 2018. He takes his daily pills, that he has chemo, and then we go to the hospital twice a month, one for his cancer treatment and then one other kind of treatment from a side effect of all of the medicine that they give him. They're worried that he is going to develop pneumonia because his lungs are pretty weak, and so we have to go once a month for that kind of treatment too.
So his immune system is suppressed. Leukemia cells, they're white blood cells that originate in the bone marrow, and they want to keep that suppressed to kill any forming leukemia cells. So he's like a newborn baby, just running around, getting into everything, getting dirty. doesn't have an immune system, so we gotta constantly watch to make sure that if he does catch a cold or a virus, that we take care of it right away. And if he gets a fever, then we end up in the ER because it could escalate pretty quickly.
Okay.
So yeah, he's still in remission, and there's no sign of cancer cells. We go back again this Wednesday, I believe, or Tuesday. Next Tuesday, and they check his spinal cord fluid and his fluid in his brain.
So in that video that you watched, that was a typical day at our clinic. So they access his port when we get there to check and see what his blood counts are. For this one coming up in a couple weeks, he has to be sedated for a spinal tap where they take out some of his spinal fluid so that they can test it for cells. That's one of the things that the leukemia cells like to do, is make their way into that spinal fluid, and that would be considered a relapse, and we would have to take some drastic measures there. But there has never been any found there. And then they inject some chemotherapy medicine into his spinal cord, just in case there are any hiding. Then from there, we'll go back up to the 10th floor, and he will receive infusion that helps boost his immune system, and then he'll get another infusion that of the chemotherapy, and then they de-access his port and send us on our way. So it'll probably be an 8 to 9 hour day at the hospital. That's typically what it is.
Now, you made the news for a few different events that you put together. Can you just, I don't know if anybody saw some of these on TV, but some of us didn't hear.
Well, again, you know, questioning everything that went on in the beginning and thinking that I was doing something wrong in life and trying to change and just be more loving and giving, I thought maybe by giving back somehow, I can change things. I can change God's decision. So I started doing as much as possible, running through life, trying to give back. But soon I realized that's not it. It was my son. It's all in his plan. But needless to say, we enjoyed so much helping others and being able to talk to others and just share with each other whatever we could. So we had a couple ideas, and there's so many. There's the apple idea, there's the toy drive idea.
Yeah, the epic toy drive is by far my favorite. Dawson just loved anything new that he could get at the hospital. It's such a hard time when they're in those small little rooms for so long, and so the fact that if he did a good poke and he could earn a prize, that we just saw the joy on his face. And so we decided that a lot of other kids need to experience that also. So Jason's school started the first year. We collected even some stuff. Oh, no, that was the markers. so many things.
It was thousands of dollars worth of toys, a huge mountain of toys. We showed up at the hospital in a bus full of toys, and we had people reaching out from the community, from little stores in Hopkins and Wayland and churches, and everybody just rallying around Dawson to give what they could. A little matchbox car I had a couple students bring in, that was it, and you know, it was just amazing. And we thought maybe we'd collect $200 or $300 worth of toys, and it amounted to like $10,000 worth of toys. It was just
pretty amazing.
Yeah. I can I share the apple story?
Okay.
So one of the ideas to help others, I found out there was a family in my district that the father was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's, and I wanted to help out any way I could. So I had a dream about apples, and my boys love apples. I'm like, why do I have this dream about apples? And so I was talking about it at lunch to a colleague, and my colleague said, you know, my aunt and uncle own an apple orchard. And I'm like, really? Well, I have this idea. You know, I see these fundraisers at school where they have a coupon. It's like 10% if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings gets donated to the sports program of that school. I said, this is a great idea. I'll go to the apple orchard. I'll pitch this idea, print out a flyer. It's all set and done. It's great. Who wouldn't want to sign on for this and help a family? And so all excited, I get to the orchard, I pitch the idea, and they looked at me like, you know, we'll give you a bunch of apples. And I said, no, they bring the coupon and you get 10%, donate 10%, and they're like, the people already come here. Why would we want to donate money? We'll donate free apples. And I said, okay. And then they start telling me an idea of taking the apples, put caramel on it, put, you know, make caramel apples or caramel apple dippers and sell them. And I said, I don't know. It seems like a lot of work. You know, I just couldn't you just donate the money and then. So I ended up taking 4 bags of apples home and thinking, oh, maybe I'll just sell the apples and not go through all the work. But just keep thinking about caramel apples after that day. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I'll make caramel apples. Had a bunch of students sign on with the idea, and we're making caramel apples in the school. After school, I had 20 people making these caramel apples and having a good time to help this family out. And we show up at the orchard. They invite us back to sell them at the orchard. I'm like, you want me to sell your products and with food? And what happens if it doesn't taste good? Oh, no, we believe in you. So showed up, and they wanted me to come back weekend after weekend, and we made thousands of dollars, $2,000-$3,000 to help a family. And
wow.
I'm
wow.
thinking, this idea turned into something beautiful to help a family.
Yeah.
And it's because of others. You know, it was a good idea, but it became great from others.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
We all need each other.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just going to open it up for maybe a couple questions. Does anybody have a question you'd like to ask? Jason, Allison?
We are not professional speakers. This will probably be the only time that we do this.
Did I see a hand or not?
That was our other son.
Oh,
who I actually
Mason,
wanted
you
to
had
say
a question there,
about.
Huh?
Mason is kind of often, I don't want to say pushed aside, but definitely our priorities have been on Dawson lately. And through this whole thing, Mason has been the best big brother. And I'm just so proud of him, and I see that God is working through him every day and is so patient with Dawson and is such a great helper. Love you, peace.
Can I ask you yet, before we close here, how can we help? How can we walk alongside of you? You having another caramel apple sale? Or who knows how to make caramel apples here, you know? Dawson, you raised your hand there. Did you have an idea?
No.
I think that we're all willing to help each other. As long as you have a clear vision and you have an understanding of what somebody else's idea is about, or, you know, does everybody need help? There comes a point in time in which we all need help. It's just, are we going to be vulnerable and ask for that help?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's nothing specifically that I can think of. It's just, if you ever hear somebody say something and it strikes you in a way, and like, you know what, I can help with that, or that's something that sounds like somebody else can help with that, or maybe somebody knows somebody. Somebody said that for a reason, and it's touching you in a way that you could possibly help that person. You know, there will always be a time which, you know, we probably think of an idea, and we'd like some people to say, hey, I can help.
Yeah.
But, you know, when that time comes, I'm sure that will be something that somebody will say, I can help.
Thank you.
And I just think that this whole church has been so supportive. We were not members when we started this, and my dad ran into Pastor Bob in the elevator one time, and he came in and saw us, and Pastor Jim.
You had a Batman uniform on,
yeah.
Dawson. I remember that. You may not remember that.
And your prayers just mean so much to us. So please just continue to pray. I know he looks like he's doing great, and he really is doing very, very well. But that can change so quickly. So please continue to keep us in your prayers. They're so powerful, and we have seen them work wonders and miracles.
Yeah. Just want to remind you, if you want to continue to watch, participate in the story Prayers for Dawson on Facebook. That's a wonderful site to check out. Also, Allison, you have put together a number of different videos on YouTube. So all you have to do is punch in her name, and I think you'll get tons of them. Now you said that's kind of a therapy for you, right?
Yeah, I didn't know how to do it before, but I just kind of thought there needs to be more than just words. It needs to be pictures. It needs to be something that captures people's attention. There are kids all over with childhood cancer, and you don't see them at the parks, and you don't see them at school because they're too sick. And so I was very, very naive that this even existed. So it's just my way of spreading awareness and helping people to understand that kids do get cancer. It's not just an old people disease, and that we need to find a cure. Mm. We really do.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have a hospital that's world renowned for a number of things in downtown Grand Rapids, and it's amazing. But in the same regard, it's awful to see so many kids going through adult serious issues and problems. And your heart goes out to them, and you wish we didn't need a hospital like that, but we do. Yeah. And so, I hope you don't ever have to go to the hospital, especially with kids or what have you, but it's the place to go.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind standing in the middle of these rows here, and Mason, you can join us too if you're okay with that. But I'd like all of us to stand up. We'll just have the Baby Act family kind of come in the middle here, and those close to them, come on, Mason, and we're going to surround them with our prayers. So, I know we can't all get around them, but just touch somebody's shoulder. I'll lead us in prayer. God, we bless you and we thank you. Lord, difficult and challenging experiences in life can either make someone, a family, turn 180 degrees away from you, or it's an experience that by your grace draws them closer to you. And what a blessing for us to hear this testimony, this story tonight. Lord, we are so thankful for the people that you have brought into the Baby Act family's lives, some friends, families, some surprises. God, it's like you have placed some surprising angels in their lives. Lord, we are just so thankful. We're so thankful, God, for the type of care that they get at the DeVos Children's Hospital, and we pray that that just continues to be there that way. Concerned, compassionate doctors and nurses, it's just so wonderful to see that. And Lord, we are praying for little Dawson here, God. We pray for complete healing of him, and pray for his courage, his continual courage through all of this. And Lord, we pray too that they as a family can get to the other side of this journey, Lord, and that he will be healed. So it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And while we're standing here, we're going to close with one last number, I believe. Should we just kind of turn around here? We'll turn around to our seats. Sit down? Is that what we need to do? Okay, we're going to sit down. Thank you.
grander earth has quaked before. Moved by the sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred can be calm and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well, so let go my soul and trust in him. The waves that win still know his name, so let go.
Oh,
are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well.
And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.